Shvius, Perkches, Mishnaches, 8:8. We've established that when one exchanges foodstuffs that have Kedusha Shvius, the thing that he exchanges them with also gets that Kedusha Shvius restrictions. Now, the most basic restriction of Per Shvius, the Shmita produce, is that it has to be consumed, achla, eaten in a way that, as we described before, the benefit to consumption happens simultaneously, which could be eating, drinking, anointing on your body, etc. However, if you would exchange Shmita produce for something that is inedible, you exchange your Shmita apple for a paperclip, so now there's no way you'll be able to consume that paperclip, and therefore that itself is forbidden. And therefore, the Mishnah says, "Ein lochin avadim v'karkos behema tameya midmei shvius." A person can't use his shmita produce, or as the Mishnah talks about, even the money that has now gotten the restrictions of shmita produce, because it was used to purchase shmita produce. So you have that money now, and that money has its restrictions. You may not use that money to purchase non-edible items, such as avadim, slaves, karkos, land, and behema tameya. Not kosher animals, inedible animals. But if you did, vim lakach, yochol kenegdan. There is a penalty that the rabbis put in place here, which is even though the original apple that was a Shemitah apple remains with its Kedusha Shvius, there's no stopping that. But if you now sold that apple, even in a permissible way, the money that was used to purchase that apple now has, it's called Dmei Shvius, it has the restrictions of Shvius, and has to be used to buy foodstuff to be consumed, as we said before. Now, if you instead sort of dissipated that Kedusha, if you will, that was in the money, by purchasing the slave, the land, etc., so now, even though the apple remains the apple, and there's been no net loss of Kedusha Shvius in the world, there's a penalty, a kanas, it's punitive, that since you did something that was wrong, you misused the Dmei Shvius and its restrictions. So what you must do now is, so you gain nothing economically, is take the same amount of money that doesn't have Kedusha Shvius and use it to purchase a foodstuff, which won't have Kedusha Shvius, but then to treat that foodstuff that you purchase as if it were Shmita produce, with all the restrictions that entails, so that you've gained nothing economically, and therefore you have no incentive, no reason to use your Dmei Shvius to purchase slaves or land or not kosher animals, because anyways you'll have to use some other money to purchase some other food stuff that you'll eat with Kedusha Shvius. So that's what it says here. Vim lakach, if you took the Dmei Shvius, the food, the money that had the restrictions of Shvius, and you use it to purchase something that was forbidden, yochal kenegdan, you must now take the same amount of money and eat some other food stuff with that you purchased with that money, as if it were invested with the sanctity of Shemitah produce. A new paragraph. It's like a related, connected thought, but a new thought. A person may not use his Dmei Shvius, the money that's invested with the sanctity of Shmita produce, to purchase the birds that are used in certain offerings. A ken is like a pair of birds, because for most of these, the way it works is that when you bring your bird offering, there's actually two birds that you are bringing. They're either going to be two turtle doves, or Bnei Yonah, there'll be two baby pigeons. Whatever the case, you have to take two of these birds, one of which will typically be an ola, a holy, entirely burnt offering, and one will be a chatas, which will actually be largely eaten by the kohanim after brought. But what the Mishnah here is saying is that for the three categories of persons who are required to bring bird offerings, they should not acquire the birds to be used for those offerings with Dmei Shvius. The Mishnah now talks about the three here. Let me just describe them quickly. Kinei Zavim are the two birds, the Ola and the Chatas, that a Zav brings. This is a person who, it's a male, a man who on 1, 2, or 3 days, on 3 separate occasions, saw that he had this like Zav, mysterious Zav emission from his body. So he becomes liable, not just a Zav, but a Zav that must bring a korban. And his korban includes these two birds, the Ol and the Chatas. Kine Zavos, a Zava, this is a female, a woman, a Jewish woman who has mysterious bleeding outside of her normal menstrual cycle. The technicalities are quite long, but it means on days 8 to 18 of her cycle, after the onset of her current, beginning of her current menstrual cycle. So if she observes blood on 3 consecutive days, so then she will have to bring, ultimately, when she becomes Tahara, she'll have to bring 2 birds as a Zava, as part of her Kapara process, one again, an Ola, one a Chatas, and a Yoledes, a woman who gave birth. So she has to bring an Ola and a Chatas. The truth is that while her Chatas is the bird, her Ola ideally should actually be a lamb, but if she can't afford it, so she can bring also 2 birds, one is an Ola, one is a Chatas. So those birds, the Ola is totally burned in the fire, and that being the case, obviously the Ola can't be purchased with Dmei Shvius, that kind of money that has restrictions, because no one's eating that bird, it's getting burned. So that's a straightforward. As far as the Chatas bird, so, which is true for all 3 cases, that everyone brings a Chatas bird in these 3 cases, the Mishnah. So that bird will be eaten. However, as we saw in the previous Mishnah, the Tana holds, Tana Kama, which is the Halacha, ostensibly holds that you can't use Shemitah produce or Tamei Shvius to purchase things which are going to have a limited, potentially limited, life and will become to have to be destroyed. So in the previous Mishnah, we had said that you shouldn't fry your Shemitah produce in Truma oil, because that makes it more susceptible to needing to be destroyed, because it's now, if it becomes Tamei, that Shemitah produce would have to be destroyed. So when it comes to Korbanos, if you buy the bird, the Chatas bird, so once it's brought as a Chatas, so then it also is just, it's even more susceptible to Tumah than the Trum oil made the vegetable in the previous Mishnah. And more than that, in the case of a Korban, so basically the clock is ticking. If it's not eaten that day, and the following night, so then it's already, it becomes nosar, it becomes forbidden to be eaten altogether, it must be burned. So you see, you've sort of restricted and made it likely or more likely that this thing which is invested, this bird now, which is invested with Kedusha Shvius, will have to be destroyed. And that being the case, you may not do it. V'im hevi, but if you did, so now what do? Yochel kenegdan, you'll have to, once again, as a penalty, use the money that you allocated from your Dmei Shvius to purchase these birds, now to use the same amount of money from non-Dmei Shvius, just regular money, to purchase other foodstuffs that you eat as if it were invested with the Kedusha Shvius. And that way you have no economic gain by allocating your Dmei Shvius to purchasing these bird offerings, because and ultimately have to buy, use other money to buy other foodstuff and eat it as if it's got the sanctity of Shemitah. The Mishnah finishes with a new case. Again, it's like a new paragraph. We've seen that when it comes to Shemitah produce, the primary requirement is that you are ochelet. And again, the achila in the Mishnah means to get benefit from it in a way that the benefit occurs simultaneously with the destruction of the food. So that's eating and drinking, as well as anointing. So sicha means to anoint. So sicha is permitted with the kinds of things that are normally used for anointing. So in other words, if you have Kedushas Shvius olive oil, you may rub it on your skin as like a emollient, or as like, you know, as a moisturizer or whatever, a skin protector. That was normal and that's totally acceptable. It gets absorbed in the skin, consumed, and provides a benefit simultaneously. But that's going into your skin. What about using oil, like olive oil, to apply to utensils? Either that would be sort of to lubricate or to protect them from going rusty, etc. So may one do that? And the answer, of course, is no, because that's not now eating the oil. It's not consuming it and getting benefits simultaneously. You're essentially destroying the oil by putting it on the kli, on the utensil, and that's just making it go to waste, which is forbidden. And that being the case, the Mishnah says, "Ein sachin kelim b'shemen shel shvias." You cannot anoint utensils with Shemitah oil because it's going to waste. Bimsach, but if you did, so then, like the previous case of the Mishnah, Yochel Kenegdo, as a penalty, you're required to get the same amount of money that the oil was worth and purchase new foodstuffs and eat them as if they were invested with the sanctity of regular Shemitah produce. So again, you have no economic rationale or advantage by misusing your Shemitah oil as a, you know, for industrial uses like on your utensils, because you'll anyways have to spend the money all over again to eat it. Okay, and that's the end of the Mishnah.